Beep boop beep boop.
Maybe?
Boop, boop,
no,
boop,
I don't hear you.
Boop, 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 boop.
There it is. I got it.
Yep. Sweet.
So you did know that you started like this.
That's right. My standing desk was very high, and I didn't feel like standing.
I've had one in my shop, it's a standing desk, and it's getting kind of clunky. It's like I haven't ever done any maintenance on it, if that's a thing, but it's kind of like slowing down as it goes up, and I'm like, oh, you feel like you're dying.
Probably just needs a bit of lube.
Probably. Needs an oil change on them. Little gearless motors.
Axis 2, yeah. Mm.
Axis 2.
How's your week? Your home parenting today?
I feel like I just complained too much, so I'm going to keep this short, but we don't have daycare this week because there's been a sickness going through it.
Yeah.
And they just decided to close on Tuesday for the rest of the week. And I was like, cool.
Cheat.
This is the crossover of both parents have meetings at the same time. It's almost nap time, so.
Well, sorry I'm late.
What?
I slept through my alarm entirely.
Everybody's mad.
Yeah, I'm sure. Luckily, one of the kids woke me up.
So the alarm did work.
Shoot, I gotta be somewhere. Sorry, bye.
Yeah.
Oh,
I've added nothing to our list today, so it's you just have to talk the whole time.
Okay.
It's usually me, so.
Well, rubbish. I'll try and be awake enough to talk. Things and stuff. As expected, I've had a week in production, which means, quotes, cash flow's crap. It's struggle town in cash flow this week. But otherwise, a reasonably satisfying week. Quite a bit of frustration on the floor with crappy materials. Bad batch of hoop pine resulting in a whole lot of parts that look like banana chips.
It's like the gluing or the something's wrong?
No, it's just
bad.
There's tension in the material, which isn't necessarily present in its full sheet form, and then you machine it and it goes, woo, I'm going to go over here.
Unresolved issues of its childhood.
Exactly. Spent too much time recutting, replacing, just dealing with that this week. But otherwise, pretty good hit rate on the machines, getting custom jobs done. Yeah, kind of, I was driving around the other night. I can't remember what I was doing, driving home or something, doing one of my voice memo little brain dumps. And I was just thinking about like how, oh, that's right. I just hooked up the tumbler where we sand and finish all the
on the lathe.
Kiddo. No longer on the lathe. It's its own little dedicated plywood rig these days.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little DC motor with two barrels running with gears, plywood gears that just keep the other one. One turns and it turns the other one. One's a sanding tumbler, one's a finishing tumbler. And I just hooked up a home assistant like remote switch to the tumbler because I wanted to go home. But I needed the tumbler to run for another hour and a half.
Set a timer on that baby.
Set a timer. Well, yeah, I haven't investigated Home Assistant timers, but I will. I haven't done any automations in Home Assistant yet. But driving away, just like reflecting on how dialed that part and those processes are now. Like the bar fed, pencil sharpener, machines as little widgets. And Johnny's resolved the cutoff saw and the pencil sharpener so that the finish on the top of the bolt or the cap is great, like straight off the machine. And so we used to do like a little bit of hand finishing on each one just to take out the little divot from the saw, like the saw mark. What's that called when you've got like a tool, like an artifact?
Yeah. Art, yeah.
Some.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's birthmark. That's resolved. And so, like, you know, we can just barf it a stick, zip, 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 and then pick up all those parts and dump them into the sanding tumbler, run them for an hour and a half, pull them out of the sanding tumbler, dump them into the finishing tumbler, and thousands of dollars worth of little bits with, like, very little intervention. Very pleasing.
It is one of the, like, most pleasing things when things are all working well and you're making so much of it, basically all of it, other than the raw material. It's like, it's such a fantastic feeling to, like, say we you know, designed and made this thing that otherwise was a stick of wood, you know, like,
yeah,
and it created value that people appreciate, and you've made it so efficient at this point.
Yeah, it makes me wonder whether we should drop the price of that component or not. Part of me thinks no, like, we've, you know, it's, you
probably
know,
not.
That's our, it's a lot of work that's led to that point of having made that so efficient. It's not like we've got a competitor down the road who's making the same widget that means we need to drop that specifically. I don't know.
I mean, if you want to sell more of them and you have a ton of margin, like, if you think for some reason that's going to convert better, you know, like, you're going to sell more by doing that. But other, I mean, the nasty thing to do, I think, would be to price them extremely high when they're really necessary, you know, like, if the connecting pieces are super necessary and only you can make them, obviously you've created a closed system that's the truth about. But, like, if it feels fair, I don't know. Maybe people would buy six more and then you would end up with a little more money in the end. I don't know.
Well, I don't think
it's changing
people,
anybody's opinions, though.
No, the number of feet and caps are determined by the width of someone's unit. So if they're like three bays wide, that's like eight caps and 8 feet. And, like, you kind of just have to get that.
Yeah.
And then you can build your unit higher without adding any feet and caps. It's just whether you go wider that will determine whether you need more of those parts, generally, roughly speaking. Anyway, so I don't, like, in the scheme of a, you know, $1,500, $2,000 set of shelves, it's minimal. But, you know, it would make a little bit of an impact if we drop the price on that component. But at the same time, I haven't actually done a timing, you know, pricing review. This is just sort of gut feel of, like, wow, these are so much more efficient than they used to be. Maybe we should charge less for them. Blah, 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 blah. It's not, no data yet.
Sometimes too, in those assembly products, you have the things that take too much labor and aren't high enough margin, and you couldn't sell them on their own. But then you have nuts and caps that are high margin because they're super automated, and it balances it all out, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's a satisfying moment, but it also got me thinking about the robots, the other robots, the orange ones, and I can see, like, where I'm a long way off this point, but I can see kind of the light at the end of the tunnel of, like, cool, if I can do this fairly autonomous, you know, value add to this sticker dowel with a custom CNC machine and a plywood tumbler, then, you know, what's it going to be like once I can do this with the higher value, like, components of this system, the shelves, when I can get those actually sanding and picking and packing on the ABBs. That's going to be satisfying. I can feel, I have this sense of potential there, which I'm a long way off achieving, but
right,
it's kind of exciting, I suppose, to think about that and
As we've been talking, I've been trying to figure out how to turn off my Apple TV in the living room. Usually I just yell at Siri to do it, but do my phone is Siri right now. I have been. It's not doing anything. I muted it and did it. But damn, I was like, Siri, oh, can I open the Apple Home? No, I've been wearing my watch lately.
Good idea.
I'm untethered.
Yeah. He's unhinged.
That's right. Yeah,
is that a notification reduction
no,
attempt?
It's pretty old. I get like the cheapest Apple Watches you can get, and so the battery is somewhere in for a couple of years, and they just like last like 4 hours at some point, and I'm like, okay, I'm wearing a dead watch most of the day. Like, what's the point of this? I don't want to take it off and charge it midday.
That was me last night. I was like, it went flat. As I was falling asleep, I was like, if I take it off, we're going to lose it in the bed and the toddler's going to find it and chuck it at something in the morning. So I'm just going to leave this obstruction on my wrist.
That is a funny one. Not to go back into kids too much, but I would have never thought that an Apple Watch was easy to like mess up. You know, like they seem pretty like, and my kid is a toddler, like a baby would just like dangle his hand around on top of it, and suddenly it'd be like, are you ready to erase everything? And you're like, what? how did you do that? You're 12 months old. I don't understand.
Yeah, my toddler.
They have to put it on swim mode.
She's very interested in fiddling with the screen. I put it on the theater mode to blank the screen out. These things, little white things in our ears, intoxicating for children. My one-and-a-half-year-old. They won't put them on, but she's so interested in it. She's just like, oh, this little box of magic.
Opening the case and...
yeah.
Chuck.
Things I can throw.
Give it to the dog.
Yeah.
That's what might...
My obsession with Open Claw has... progress this week. I trust that you haven't gone anywhere near
that?
It. Yeah.
I've listened to enough more additional podcasts where I'm just like, I do not need that in my life right now. It just feels like a good. Major attack vector.
I'm so impressed that you're restraining yourself.
I just have no time right now. This week has been chaos too. Like, I'm working like third, like swing shift right now, going to work after Aaron's meetings are done. And then,
yeah. What's happening in the shop this week? Ricky's there.
We're kind of... he's been... I was going to make a video because I think you asked me last week, how are your tables? I've been thinking about that all week. And I bought more tables. I went and picked up some pretty sizable tables. And so we put those together. And I've been looking for big tables. And they're almost like... At first, I was like, oh, no, they're too big. Like, because, you know, we're basically in the last third of the shop back there now on that side. And we put them together, and they're from Uline, which I will only buy Uline things secondhand at this point because they're such atrocious people. And we need to reconfigure it a little bit. But otherwise, we've been doing some work on just tidying up after, like finishing jobs in the middle of tearing apart the shop for when we move the Dexter room out, and it like it's still just kind of like in an unhinged, well, we keep things pretty tidy, so it's just unorganized and feels weird. So not a lot otherwise, just kind of trying to keep up. Sales have been really good still, which has been nice.
Oh, great.
And so we're just keeping up on I don't think I've had this problem quite yet, but like it's dispersed across a handful of products instead of just like one thing. Like the Fangs have been doing well in January and they're still doing well. And so we've been like, I've never really had to like focus on reordering as much as I have. Good to have a tool to manage that.
Good problem to have. Oh, yes. Airshop plug.
I didn't say it. You did. I wasn't going to this time. I redesigned. This seems very simple, but in that same vein, I actually have a Instagram reel. I think it's still in trial because I've been playing with that trial mode on reels because it's actually pretty effective. But I redesigned the packaging of the Fang clamps because we realized that originally we were doing the hardware bins as an add-on or a, like an optional thing, and we realized pretty quickly that like you pretty much need this. And even people that would buy it without buying the hardware bins would eventually buy the hardware bin too, like a separate kit of all the hardware.
Yeah.
And so we just made it non-optional, like you always get that with it. And
cool.
The bins became clumsy, so I needed to, there was three bins for like eight fangs, and I turned that into one bin, and it's cut the print time somewhere around 50% and the filament by 50%, and packaging's easier. But it was just like one of the things that you'd kind of do through optimization of a product where it's like, all right, now we know the first version was okay, it's much better now, it's easier for us to keep up on like making the parts.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of time where even with four bamboo printers, we were having a tough time keeping up with making parts for the fangs.
Wow.
And it was largely because of those bins, strangely enough. They're like, they're just a cost, you know, they're packaging more or less. So it was good to redesign them and make them more minimal.
Yeah, sick. The what was I going to say? The fangalangs. The fangalang. Are you doing actively advertising the fang clamps?
Yeah, that's doing really well. It's one of the first things in a while where the advertising just is killing it.
What platform? Google's.
The Meta. I have like kind of a blanket advertisement on Google, but I don't pay attention to it. But Meta. The ROAS on the fang clamps is 10 since January 1. It's crazy.
Remind me what that means.
It's like a multiplier. Yeah. It's like spend a dollar, earn 10, if it's accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
I've never had anything that's consistently performed. Usually it's like you have spikes of like a 6 or something, you know? But
yeah, sure.
My average across that last time is 6, which is pretty good too. Yeah, I don't know. It's just something's clicking with people, ads, needs. I don't really know what it is.
Yeah. And with your sort of your late night time slot attention, are you still air shopping like crazy, or you got headspace for other things yet?
Usually air shop.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be that way. We've got people in using it now. It's just like a deluge of bug reports. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
Shit. I've been waiting for this to happen, like kind of anxiously, like, I can't wait till other people start playing with it. And now I'm like, I don't know if I like it anymore, you know?
Lots of work. Yeah.
Hey, these don't work. And it's funny how as the administrator of it or like the owner of the app, it's like you can easily see, I think a lot of times when people complain about a product not working or it broke or something, you can go, oh well, you'll get along, you know, like internally, like this isn't critical, we will do our best to replace it as fast as possible. But when it's an app and they're like trying to get set up and they're like, I can't export the cards because they don't work, you know, the cards aren't exporting right, and you're like,
yep,
okay, yeah, I'll get that right away. Hold on.
Yeah. Stay on the line, caller. Well, that's what that is. Yeah. 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 Well, are you doing, how's that ticketing system working? Are people just
I built an internal, you'll be surprised. I didn't go get a help desk ticket system because it costs money, and I'm running on absolute, I basically have a bank account for Airshop that's had no money in, and I've been, you know, budgeting, paying personally for getting stuff up and running, which has been really minimal. And my tables are too big. I saw a text message there. And so yeah, I found a free email system, which is great. It's just like cheap free email instead of Gmail. Is the first time in my life I've used something other than Gmail.
Oh wow.
or Google.
It's other systems?
Because it's called Zoho. You've heard of it. It's called Zoho. It's pretty shit. It gives me an ability to respond to emails, and that's all I was looking for right now. But I built my own bug report system, bug and features, into Airshop. So that actually works really well. So people can, like, inside the app report something, and then it's just databases again. You know, it's like,
sure,
it's a user interface and a database. So it works really well, and people can kind of, like, quickly glance at what the state of those are, and then I email them through my Zoho email.
Not dodgy at all.
It works.
Cool.
It's theoretically a pretty big company. It's just kind of like, I don't know, the store brand or something, you know, like,
yeah,
just
yeah.
not what you want.
Yeah, I was looking at email providers that I could potentially plug into OpenClaw during the week, and obviously Gmail is an option, but yeah, that hadn't really occurred to me that there were still other forms of email in this world. Everything's
it's just hard to pay for things when you're not making money, you know, for a while.
Well, that's true. Yep.
It's like, totally. Just has to come out of my pocket when there's no revenue. And I don't remember starting up my other business 15 years ago. Did I just immediately, I think I had money from the start because we did that Kickstarter, and I was like, I don't know. So eventually we will pay for something legit, but soon.
Well, I've still got, like, the first 5 years of business are probably still tucked away in my personal Gmail account somewhere. Like, I would have just been domain forwarding. And there's, like, it's a few free Gmail accounts full of years of data somewhere that I've...
Just filling them up with data and, like, oh, gotta go to a new one.
Until we actually, like, went to our proper sort of domain specific Gmail business account 10 years ago or something. Too much data. I had a funny situation on the weekend. My cousin, who I think listens to this sometimes, hello pie,
my cousin,
he came and visited on Sunday. Because when I bought all these cheap batteries online last year, he might have actually, it's probably his fault. He probably sent me the auction link originally. He was like, hey, check out all this lithium.
Is this your hookup with the engineer? Is this the one?
Yeah, it's my tame electrical engineer cousin. he came up. Because he'd always sort of said, hey, I'll help you with, like, the CAN bus, like, battery management monitoring stuff, which is kind of the most technical aspect of the project.
Most dangerous, too, right?
Anyway. Maybe, I suppose, if you stuff something up. I mean, they've all got their own BMS, so they self-protect themselves. Anyway, I daisy-chained them into a CAN network, and... Then I was like, it's cool, that's the end of the road for me. I don't really know what to do from here. Anyway, he came up, he brought some Raspberry Pis, and we managed to, like, get the network working and get these batteries all talking to each other, but also then spitting out data to a Raspberry Pi. And it was an interesting situation where I was on my laptop, he was on his, he was bashing out terminal commands because he can write bash natively. He doesn't really engage with AI all that much, and I was next to him in cursor also connected to the same Raspberry Pi over the network, and it was kind of a race.
Naughty.
An informal race of, like, who's gonna solve it first, and we were helping each other, but, like, it was interesting because he got there way before cursor did. Like, basically, I couldn't solve it. He solved it. His file of, like, once he was in and it was reporting the Modbus values, I then photographed his screen and chucked that in Cursor, and then Cursor was like, oh, sweet, yeah, got it now. Like, took credit for it and then wrote a little piece of software to make it all human readable very quickly. Yep. But the actual problem solving, Opus 4.5 was like, couldn't get there. So it was cool to see his real world skills winning out in that situation.
Right.
Now
writing Bash?
Yeah.
Like, just it was unique enough. That's interesting.
So I've now got some pretty sweet like BMS monitoring at home, which is awesome because I've never had proper battery management before.
BMS is what? Battery management system?
Yeah, it's led to a bit of an obsession of checking it constantly. And dumping out all this data, and I've connected it to my Discord OpenClaw agent. So this is, I think, I was thinking about this during the week, like, what's the point of OpenClaw? I'm not yet convinced by it, but I think the distinction, the bit of it that I'm most interested in, is the fact that the instance of it is running locally on my computer at home, on my home network, right? Which means it then enables that agent to probe local devices. So in this instance, it can SSH the Raspberry Pi on my network and say, hey, give me the latest solar data. And then my little agent, which isn't, you know, it's not totally local, it's not a local LLM, it's still pinging the Google Gemini API or whatever, but the device is local, it's running local, which, it's enabling some interesting things in terms of local file management. It can write its own files, read its own files, and probe local devices, which is, I suppose that's the biggest distinction for me thus far as to why it's different from just running a, you know, an agent in SimTheory or whatever. Other than that sort of local value add, I'm not yet convinced by it.
I haven't heard a ton about it other than it's interesting, and I think I'm mostly on the edge of like a Warren Buffett, like, I don't understand it, so I'm not investing in it kind of thing. Like, at this point, it feels too risky. Like, I think I've seen enough AI things over, you know, the years of it, even through SimTheory, like firing off emails to clients when I absolutely didn't even remotely ask it to send an email, where I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what you could do, but I think that's probably the problem. I don't understand how much you could mess up or expose, maybe.
Yeah, I'd be wary of running it on my, like, I don't think I would install it on my main laptop in its current state.
And does it, for how good they are at like doing things, it's like, it could be a really good hacker. Like, could it turn rogue and go through your network and get into your other computers and start to pull stuff out? And how do you know, like, what do you know about the developer that is certain that they're not just a really good Trojan?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Exactly. I don't know.
I'm just thinking of these things now. And it's kind of, that's what I mean by like the Warren Buffett theory of like, I hadn't formalized that thought, but I just like, something doesn't feel, my gut doesn't like it, even though it's interesting. I love the, I was talking to Aaron about this the other day, not about Claude, whatever the hell it is, but just the idea that like, we're both pretty annoyed at the stupid Amazon devices that we, because they were cheap, they're, you know, in all of our house, so we can say stuff to it and turns the lights on or plays music or looks up the weather, and they're just pretty abysmal in terms of like quality, and they're always doing like a follow-up thing that's like really annoying, and you never ask for it and you can't turn it off. And I was like, it made me think, I was like, oh, we're just gonna have our own home assistant style AI assistance, and we just need hardware to be able to call to it, right? Like what mm-hmm. you're doing, but hopefully it's just a local only solution at some point.
Yeah. I mean,
that, and I feel like OpenClaw is kind of like that, basically.
I mean, that would be a super appealing way to operate it, is to, you know, have a fast Mac Mini, whatever they're called, and, you know, run a truly local LLM on it. That'd be sick.
Mm-hmm.
That'd feel great. I'd love that, because, yeah, you make a good point from a security perspective. That's, yes, I'm running it on a... on a computer that I don't care about, but I've just connected it to 70 kilowatt hours of lithium as well, which is, you know, quite a potentially dangerous situation if you think about it in that light. So,
or if you did, does it have access to the robots indirectly?
No.
Good.
Not yet.
It's like, ooh, I finally have claws.
Maybe that's why it's called OpenClaw. Oh. The lobster is coming for us all. I do really want to connect my robots to the internet. I was thinking about that yesterday, driving back from Melbourne. It would be nice to... I've kept them air-gapped so far, but... surely, if I just back them up really thoroughly, I've got good mm-hmm. backups of their configuration, their stuff, then what's the worst that can happen, really? I don't know.
I mean, yeah. I think if I was going to attempt it, I would put it on its own network, but it's not easy, not simple, where it can't, like, get into other stuff it's not supposed to.
Yeah. Did you sort out your...
So we've had...
Your coolant...
Cool.
...tank stuff?
I've sourced all the... I think all the parts are on the way, finally.
Okay, cool.
And I think my cost right now is under... Let's see, the pump. Pump was 61. I found a really good deal on a pump. Hopefully it works. I struggle trying to, like... put together a system. Like, I traditionally would basically, like, model everything so I could see it. Like, I need the pump and this fitting and this hose and this fitting and this, like, my brain doesn't track that well. So, and then the pressures and stuff. So I found a pump and a cheap container, which the containers could be pretty expensive too. So I think it's all on the way.
Cool.
I will, I'm sure make some video about it if it, I guess either way, if it sucks or it's good. I guess I do have a couple things finally. Let's see. One thought I think I've said this here before, maybe. We have recurring issues with many different metal fabrication shops, metal fabrication and finishing of metal, so powder coating. Mm-hmm. And we are fairly particular about, like, what gets sent out, you know, like, we don't accept scratches or, like, little zits underneath, you know, like, they need to be, like, clean, and we don't sell cheap products, so it should look good. But I mean, we've finally found a place that will produce the right shapes of metal, which is critical. We've moved away from the places that, after multiple attempts and telling me that they're going to figure it out, and they don't. So we've got a good place that's making cutting and bending right. And then there's always little issues, though, with, like, one run will be, I don't know. I guess I'm asking partially if this is normal in other people's experience, or I'm just sourcing wrong or something. I don't really know. But then they'll be like, we were having the parts sent straight to the powder coater and not being in between them, which we thought was going to work in that case. In this case, we've had a couple problems now where that's not the case, and they get powder coated and there's, like, rough slag still on underneath the powder, and we're like, two levels of failure here that nobody decided was wrong, you know, that the powder cutters are just kind of blindly spraying powder over stuff too. So I know it's not necessarily their job to do that, but I feel like I have very clear drawings with very, very clear instructions. And then it's even a failure within the companies that do the work. And I know that, to extend this thought, I know that every company I've talked to and gone and toured, everybody's saying basically the same thing of like, we can't keep good people. And I'm always like, is it pay? Is it the work? Is it, I don't know what that is, but it's like, I'm on like shop six that have said the same thing around the region. So I don't know what to do about it. I feel like I could do something different, but I don't know what.
In my experience, because we used to do a lot of metal fabrication, thus a lot of mm-hmm. powder coating, I found it really difficult to find powder coaters who gave a shit about the output. And I did finally find a powder coater who had basically had pride in his work. Like
right. We talk about that all the time, just caring.
You know, he was proud of what he could produce, and that was quite unique in a powder coater, it seems. And, you know, but that didn't last forever. His business grew. He ended up becoming the owner of the business. And then he, you know, as is natural, he employed more people, and they did not have his level of care or sort of conscientiousness in terms of quality of parts. And yeah, like that thing of just chucking powder on whatever comes across their bench without seemingly questioning or putting stuff aside, or you know, like,
yeah,
yeah. Like my original dude would reach for the grinder or the sander and just like zip off the little bit of slag to make sure that, you know, the final bit was, which I get, you know, that's not necessarily their job, but yeah, I don't know. That was always
I'd rather it be paused for a week, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why? Like I have 20 sets of parts that are just like, I don't know what you do with it at this point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess you repowder them after grinding. So.
Get them blasted and clean and go again. But yeah, I don't know. That was always hard with powder coating for some reason. Don't know why. Maybe it's
I've heard that process. Similarly with anodizing, even though it's like really hard to find good anodizers too. Mm. But I think I'm pretty happy. As, you know, I understand at this point they're not going to do QA for us at powder coating, so we are going to be in between the two. That's coming to us, we're going to look at them, which cool, that has to happen, but whatever. I guess I don't know why I asked. It's just like, I don't know what else other than finding the right company, but it's just I've been around to a lot of them, and they either it's a tough Venn diagram to find the like price that works to be able to sell a product after that that's not obscenely priced, or you don't want like the bottom dollar one. I've never been looking for that. It's just this is where I have a dangerous affliction where I just end up buying the machines to do it ourselves. Yeah. And it's like, oh, I know how we can do this right. Cut out these jokers.
Yeah. You need a giant tumbler. You finish them all beautifully, stonewashed finish before they go into powder.
It doesn't take the slag off. And I know that from our fang clamps. If those are not clean, it does not look good afterwards.
Mm. How are the fang clamps finished? They're just stainless.
We just tumble them.
Do you? Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. And that's mostly, there's just the tiniest little bit of like jaggedy edge at times, and then the surface can be a little bit imperfect and it just kind of cleans it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty efficient. and then engrave them.
Yep. That little laser engraver's going well?
Yeah. We still haven't gotten enclosed. That's kind of on the list of we use like plywood pieces kind of loosely placed around it, and I mean, it's basically Ricky out there, and then if I come out, we're one or whoever's running it, we're pretty careful, but needs to be better. It's good. It's been, I mean, as it should be reliable, I guess. It's not like it works. It's easy enough. Yeah. He hears you. I hear Mama.
Do you need to go?
I guess last night you'll appreciate last night he woke up and he was not wanting to go back to sleep, and Erin had gone in there and tried to get him to go back down, and he I guess he told her that he's like, I'm scared the Roomba's gonna get me. Because he must have had a dream the Roomba was coming after him, I guess. Like, oh, that's sad but hilarious too.
Chippy's coming.
Yeah. I think my last thought is we had like maybe a 4-inch. What? Uh huh. You gonna be on the show? Come on in.
Here we go.
we had about a 4-inch microscope. You know, I think Saunders started this trend of everybody getting the same little cheap Amazon $80 to $100 microscope, and it was fine. I don't know what exactly went wrong with it because it wasn't used that much, but it just slowly, like, the light stopped working, and then like the screen started having issues, and then there was some really weird final straw where we're just like, yeah, this is toast. It doesn't even really work anymore. It's probably less than 5 years old, which I guess that's what you get for buying the cheapest microscope you can. So I only slightly went better than that by getting a $110 one that is, I think it's an evolution of just technology being better and thus it's cheaper, but it's like a 10-inch screen now. It's like more than double.
I thought you got the kids' toy one. Is this a different one?
Again? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, different. We needed a new like stand
bench
one. And our like sure. 9 out of 10 times this is to look at end mills to see their, you know, do they have chips? Do they have, you know, what's going on under there? Both for like selling to see the quality when we're testing them now is kind of where I'm mostly interested in, and like how is it wearing when we cut it this way? But also just in terms of using things ourselves, it's like when you have a chip in a certain spot, it's been a really good sanity check, so you're not throwing away good tools, or it's just they're so costly to like throw away, you know, or like be done with if it's not, that's not the problem, if it's programming versus a chip and a tool.
Yes. Yeah. I almost
a little bit better.
I bought one of those toy ones you told me about the other night because I was finally ordering Dylan's Boom headphones on Amazon.
Okay. Yeah.
And I had to get the link off him again. But and I noted that microscope that you told me about, the kids one, was still in my cart. I was like, oh, should I get that? Nah, I pass for now, but still tempted.
I've used it a few times. I think it is really nice that it, strangely enough, this new one I bought, while it wasn't intentional, it has batteries in it, which I honestly wish it didn't, but it does. And so you can charge it, and then it's portable, which I don't know why that's useful. Like, it's not, it's just like a weird combination of ideas.
Yeah.
Take it on the router. So I'll try to link it. I don't know. I'm glad to have something better that works, and you can like, I think the other one could too, but you can like connect it to your computer or a TV or something, but I don't think we'll ever end up needing that.
Cool. Sweet.
Oh, you reminded me with the headset is, we've used Slack for a long time in the shop, but often. It just feels like there's another way, and we're not really like a yell across the shop at each other kind of place. And, you know, like scream, because it's just usually too loud too, or it just doesn't work. And so I had this thought the other day, and I think I'm always just have been interested in this. I think I was watching a YouTube channel with walkie-talkies. They were using walkie-talkies. I was like, could we get walkie-talkies? And I was like, nah, you got to charge them all the time. That's annoying. Like, and I was like, wait, what about like an intercom? Because like mostly it's just like at a, one of a few spots. So I showed Ricky and I thought he'd go, that's stupid. You know, like, I'm not interested. He was like, oh, this would be great. And so, like, I bought like a $100 set of four intercoms that are wireless. And so you can like, I'm going to put one, there, one at each of our desks, and then I'm going to put one at shipping and at the UMC. Because it's like far enough, you can't yell across to any of those spaces, and a lot of them don't have like a computer. So we'll see if it works okay, but it's like, it was cheap and really like, hopefully it's effective.
I like it. It's more efficient than like typing a message into Slack across the shop, because that happens to us too. Like Rowan will message me on Discord from the shipping station, which is just through the window there, through the double glazed window, but I can't
hear. Like,
right. He'll be like, hey, can you give me the Gmail, you know, two-factor, blah, blah. And I don't see the message, and it's an hour later. I'm like, oops, sorry.
Intercom's
cool.
My long-term plan is to borrow one of my client's ideas. He's kind of an advertising marketing company, and they bought a Shop Saver, and so I've been over helping him with some stuff, and he made this really cool... They're into sports stuff too, so like help with sports teams here. And they made like a, you know, like in a gym, basketball gym, they have like in a pro sport kind of setting, they have the big thing in the center, like the scoreboard.
Jumbotron.
You know what I mean? Yeah, but it's like in the center so you can see it from all sides kind of thing.
Yep.
Like in the center of the court. Anyway, just screens on four sides or something.
Okay.
And he made one of those that he can update from a local web server. And so I'm going to, like, my plan is to put a little one in each shop so that we can have a little web server and either put messages or like that a customer is going to arrive soon. Cause we use like a appointment system for like pickups and stuff, or like, you could do other stuff with like what's due today, or we just got a rush order. So someday when I get some extra time, that's on my list of making a little banner system.
Fun.
Cool. That's it. Now that the screaming has ceased. Mama.
Yeah.
Miss Rachel's off. It's basically what it is. You don't watch a lot of TV, but Miss Rachel isn't on.
This is unacceptable.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
Yes.
I knew you'd go. Hey, Ma! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf! Ma! The meatloaf! Fuck!
Sometimes it'll be like, do you ever watch Miss Rachel? Did your kids watch that at all?
I don't know who you're talking about, but no.
YouTube. Has other people, it's, you know, it's basically Mr. Rogers or like a, you know, kids, and she will have like somebody singing a song, and if it's gone too long, he'll turn to me and go, where's Miss Rachel? Like, he thinks it's like changed to a new station. I'm like, she's just not on the screen for this last minute. It's okay. Okay.
Cool bananas.
Mm-hmm.
See you next time.
Bye. Ooh, it's a good one.
Six shops deep, still can't get it right. Sir, still can't get it right. Yeah. Sent you clean drawings, every bend, every spec.
tolerance is tight. What part don't you get? Parts came back looking like a dog chewed the edges. Bends are off, slag hanging off the ledges. Told me three times you were gonna figure it out. Three batches later, I'm still full of doubt. Then you ship them straight to powder, no QC in between. Two companies failed and nobody made a scene.
Slag on my part, slag on my parts. You had one job and you broke my heart. Slag on my parts, can't sell this art. Guess I'll buy the machines and do it myself.
Look, we cut it, we bent it. That's what you paid for. You want mirror finish, should've asked for more. We're short three guys, the welder quit last week. The brake press operator, yeah, he's on a streak of calling in sick. Every other Monday, you want it right, cool. Maybe by next Sunday, we told you we'd figure it out, we're trying. But half our crew's gone and the rest are dying.
Don't look at me, I just spray what shows up. Slag on the edges, that ain't my hold up. QA's not my job, I cope what I'm handed. You want me grinding parts, that wasn't what you demanded. Read the fine print, we spray, you inspect. Send it pre-cleaned, or what do you expect? We're backed up 3 weeks, you're not the only boat. You want a dub burr, that's extra on the quote.
Every shop I walk in, same sob story. Can't keep good people, faded glory. My drawings are clean, my spec are right, six shops deep and not one gets it tight. I'd rather wait a month than get this mess. But no, you shipped it fast, couldn't care less. You know what, forget it, I see the path. I'll buy the rigs myself and do the math.
Slag on my part, slag on my parts. You had one job and you broke my heart. Slag on my parts, can't sell this art. Guess I'll buy the machines and do it myself.
Had a powder guy, had a guy who reached for the grinder. Pride in his work, couldn't find a kinder. Then he grew the business, hired a crew, same quality problems, nothing new. Metal fat powder coat, doesn't matter who. Give them clear drawings, still comes back askew. 20 sets, slag under the powder. Two levels of failure, nobody said a thing. I guess you blast them, clean them, go again. Or just buy the machine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm buying a machine. Yeah, yeah. I'm buying a machine.